Our text for this afternoon comes from John 10, the first 10 verses. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." So far the scripture reading. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, how many doors do you pass through in a day? If you're not bedridden, you open and close many doors every day, don't you? Bedroom door, bathroom door, front door, car door, school door, workshop door, office door. And this morning, you pass through the church doors. It'd be quite a job to count the many doors that you go through every day, wouldn't it? Many doors we go through without thinking. Sometimes you consciously pass through a door. For instance, a hospital door. You go in or you exit. And you don't do that thoughtlessly. No, you experience it consciously and intensely. It's not nice to be admitted to the hospital for surgery, for instance. And it's a relief to be discharged again and through the hospital doors if it's all over and you're doing better again. Well, the experience of passing through the door of our text is a most conscious and intense experience. Entering this door means entering the kingdom of heaven. It means stepping into peace with God. That door is, as our text says, the Lord Jesus himself. And I preached to you the text for this morning, this afternoon, with this theme. Jesus is the door. The first point is enter for salvation, and the second point is to go out for pasture. The Lord Jesus says in our text, "I am the door." And he says this in the context of talking about sheep. Sheep and a sheepfold. And when you hear the Lord Jesus speaking of a sheepfold, you have to think about what sheepfolds looked like in the ancient Middle East. They consisted of walls of flat stones piled on top of each other, just like you'd see in many natural retaining walls made out of. Those walls were made round or square with an opening, which was just large enough for a large sheep to pass in or out. During the daytime, the sheep followed the shepherd out into the hills, looking for good pasture and water. But in the evening, when it got dark, it was dangerous for the sheep to be out. The shepherd couldn't see the sheep, and they could wander off without him noticing. And the sheep couldn't see where they were going either, among the deep gullies between those hills in Palestine. They could easily fall off a cliff into the depths. And nighttime was when the animals of prey were out. Lions, bears, wolves, hyenas. They were always on the lookout for a kill. So the night was extremely dangerous for the sheep. You could say it was even fatal. And that's why they had to enter the sheepfold before it was dark. The shepherd would bring them to the sheepfold, and they would enter through that one doorway in that wall of stones. And then someone would lay down in the entrance to protect the sheep from anyone or anything wanting to get into the sheepfold. And then finally the sheep would be safe. Safe from ravines and wild animals. It was a matter of life and death for the sheep. Entering the sheepfold by the door was a matter of life and death. And the shepherd was the door. The people sitting around Jesus would have thought in those terms when they heard him say, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." Outside, everything has become dark since the fall into sin. Satan prowls around like a lion or a wolf seeking someone to devour. He lurks around, trying to capture and consume the Lord's sheep with temptations, fears, and doubts. He wants to drag you off into the deepest darkness with himself and into eternal death. It's awful to be captured by him and to be drawn into a life apart from God, in whom alone there is safety and comfort. In God's kingdom, there is life, eternal life, and Satan can't come into his kingdom to take anyone away. With God, there is life and safety and peace that passes understanding. However, between God and us, there is a wall. The wall of our sin and of God's holiness and wrath. No one can approach God and live. Think of the Old Testament tabernacle with that wall all around. But there was a doorway into the holy place with God, which place with God, which with its scarlet and blue curtain represented the promised Savior. Well, in the New Testament, Jesus, God's Son, came as man to bear the sin of the world. And so he is the Savior and mediator of his people, his church. He opened the way through that wall of holiness and curse by his suffering and death on the cross at Golgotha. There he descended into hell. He cried out to his Father in heaven, but there was no answer. For 3 terrible hours, the Son of God was shut off from the Father whom he loved perfectly. He endured an eternity of God-forsakenness in those 3 hours. And therefore, there is an opening, a doorway to God through him. In Hebrews 4 it says, "Therefore we can come boldly, confidently, to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." There is free access to God and into his kingdom, and that access is Jesus, who says in our text, "I am the door." He is the door to eternal safety and peace. If anyone enters by him, that person will be saved. However, you can't enter this door thoughtlessly. We mentioned before going into a hospital door for surgery. You experience entering that hospital door consciously and intensely. Things are going to happen to you. But you experience entering this door, which is Jesus Christ, much more consciously and intensely. For when you enter by him, you understand that you're leaving behind your old life in the realm of darkness, the dark realm of sin and Satan. Outside this door, I'm lost in my sins and in my guilt. Outside this door, I'll be subject to exclusion from the presence of God forever. I'll be subject to the terrors of hell forever. But inside the door, which is Jesus, life is new. I am freed from the darkness of sin and condemnation, and I am reconciled to God and have peace with him. And that's what it means to enter by the door, which is Jesus Christ. "I am the door," Jesus says. And this door is wide enough for the biggest sheep in the flock to enter into the sheepfold. Jesus, the door, is big enough for every sheep. Every sinner can enter God's kingdom by him. No matter how many sins you carry in yourself, you may enter and escape the darkness and danger and futility there is in this life by entering through the door of Jesus Christ into the kingdom of God's peace and into everlasting life with him. And the Spirit calls you as sheep and lambs to enter by him today too. Have you truly, spiritually entered through the door, beloved? Have you entered into the kingdom through him to escape the coming wrath? That could be the inducement to go through that door. that you escape the eternal darkness that's outside of God's kingdom, the darkness of hell. It's not a noble motivation to flee coming wrath. It can't be the ultimate motivation to step through that door. That has to be the love for Jesus. But the first step through the door can certainly be fear. That you don't want to end up in hell with the devil, and therefore you flee to Jesus. Think of the jailer in Acts 16, when he fell down trembling before Paul and Barnabas and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He was afraid in the face of that earthquake, afraid of God's majesty and might. Paul and Barnabas said to him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Go through the door, and the only door to salvation and safety and peace with God. "I am the door," Jesus says in the text. That means, enter through me. In other words, it's not good for a sheep to hang around outside of that door. And you're still outside, close to the door. Even against the wall, it's still outside, in the dark. No, you need to step through that door. Physically stepping through the door of the church is good, and is certainly a part of that. But Jesus ultimately calls you to step through the door, which is Him in your heart. Step through the door and in your soul. And you need to do that, because there's no other opening in the wall around that sheepfold. And the sheep can't jump over that wall of holiness around God's kingdom. Oh, there may be some who think that they're strong enough to get themselves over that wall, who think they have the strength or the piety in themselves to jump over it without going through that door. But they'll never ever make it. The wall is too high. The door is the one and the only way in. So the mark of a true sheep, of the Good Shepherd, of true Christians, is that they seek life outside of themselves in Jesus Christ. They enter by that door because they're His sheep. They will be saved, as Jesus says in the text, future tense. Will be saved in the future before them, when they leave this life, and ultimately at the last judgment. They will be saved from condemnation from before God's throne. The devil will try to accuse them of all their sins yet, but Jesus will speak up for them before God's judgment seat. They don't have to say anything at all. Jesus will speak for them. And then the devil, the accuser, he won't have anything to say. "My blood is sufficient for him and for her." And Jesus will then say to you, "Come, you blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." This brings us to our second point. Go out of that door and find pasture. "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Now, we spoke about going in through the door. That going in is something that needs to happen throughout our life, congregation, daily even. But what did Jesus mean with that going out again? Well, the people listening to Jesus knew that sheep would enter the sheepfold in the evening. Every evening the sheep would return from the hills and enter the sheepfold where the shepherds stood and then lay down for the night as the door. They would spend the night there. But the following morning, they need to go out again because there's no food for them in the sheepfold. They need to exit by that same door again and go out to find pasture. Out among the hills, they would be able to find good green grass to feed on again. So you realize that Jesus actually changes the picture with what's going out, which he mentions in the text. It's obvious that he isn't saying that you enter God's kingdom by him, and that you can also exit the kingdom by him. No, the idea here is that through him, you not only find safety from spiritual danger and destruction, but in him you also find spiritual sustenance. Jesus is the door through which we can go in to be saved from spiritual ruin. But he's also the door through which we can go out and find spiritual nourishment for our souls in order to remain spiritually alive and healthy. So through him, we not only go into safety and peace with God through daily faith and repentance, through him we also go out to pasture to be nourished in our faith, hope, and love. And pasture that's good for sheep is God's Word, the Bible. The nourishing abundance of God's salvation is spiritually consumed by His sheep when they listen to and study the Bible, the Gospel. When we listen to and study the Gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ, also as summarized in the Confessions, think of the Heidelberg Catechism, how the doctrine of the Word is so succinctly laid out for us in those three parts, sin and misery, deliverance, and thankfulness to God, digestible grass for the young sheep and lambs to grow on. It's good for spiritual growth. But there's such an abundance of good grass to feed on in the Bible. Good, fresh, green grass, nourishing to the soul. We come to know our Savior more and more. His incredible work of deliverance from sin and Satan and death for us, for you and for me personally. All His suffering, His death, His resurrection, and how He lives for us now, an endless green pasture. And through Christ, we come to know God the Father and the love with which He loved us from eternity already. What a pasture to graze in, spiritually meditating on, God's electing grace. And we see the Father's almighty providence, whereby He so governs and upholds everything, and nothing happens without His will or His purpose for us. Also in these unstable times that we live today, and through Christ, we also come to know the Holy Spirit, who sets God's seal on us, and who regenerates us, so that we can love and serve God. All lush pastures to graze in and to be spiritually nourished and strengthened in. And it's all for us. Everything in that lush green pasture, it's for us. We can walk around and enjoy it all through Christ. Of ourselves, we deserve to be turned out into dry, empty desert land. But the gospel of Christ that we receive, through the gospel of Christ, we receive abundant food and drink to be spiritually nourished to eternal life. No wonder that David wrote in Psalm 63, "You will fill my soul with rich delight as with the joys of lavish feasting." There's spiritual abundance in the gospel, congregation. More than enough for a lifetime, for eternity even. The Lord's sheep have lots to feed on and to grow through in the Word. So good then to open the Bible every day and to be in church for the proclamation of the gospel every Sunday. Even if it has to be virtually too. And the sacraments confirm that gospel. They give the sheep extra vitamins. The Lord Jesus promises to wash us clean and to nourish us with His body and His blood of eternal life. And to attend catechism classes, students, and take this as a commercial for being busy with the Bible at home and for taking part in Bible study this season. Be sheep which not only go in, but go out through that one door of the sheepfold and find pasture and graze upon the gospel. That's how you grow spiritually healthy and strong in the joy of salvation. You go from strength to strength, and you learn how to live in this world as sheep of the Good Shepherd. Have you experienced that growth already, brothers and sisters? Or are you maybe a skinny sheep, which is starving? A sheep which doesn't go out to find pasture and to graze. A sheep which isn't really hungry for spiritual food. That's not intent on going deeper to God's Word. That isn't interested in being part of the worship service. Or would maybe rather put the feet up at home and have a coffee instead of taking part of the service. Or doesn't bother making time for Bible study. Doesn't really get involved in catechism classes. You know what you do then? You starve yourself spiritually. You make yourself vulnerable to dangers in the world. And that while there's such an abundance of spiritual nourishment in the gospel, a feast of fat on the lees in the Bible. You know, that lack of desire for spiritual nourishment has a cause. If a child isn't hungry at supper, then you wonder, maybe he's sick. Or maybe he or she ate a whole family-sized bag of Doritos just before supper. If that's the case, then it's no wonder that he or she isn't hungry, right? It's the same with spiritual hunger for the Word of God. An infection due to your holding on to a sin in your life can ruin your appetite for the Word. But then you need to keep eating. It's exactly then, when you don't have very much appetite, that you need to open the Gospel. Take part in worship. Be involved in the Bible study and in catechism classes. Getting into the Gospel is the only vaccine or antibiotic against these infections. Where is your spiritual appetite gone because you've eaten your fill of junk food? If you only stuff your soul with other things like the latest movies, shows, or whatever else is available on the internet today, and only absorb the sins so freely depicted in many of them, those things will affect your spiritual appetite too. And you don't feel like worship on Sunday, but you'd rather lay on the couch watching a show than attending church. Or even if you're in church, you can't keep your thoughts on the sermon, and you become spiritually skinny, and you starve yourself, maybe even almost to death. And you know, that'd be terribly sad for you. You could be such a strong and healthy sheep. You could have such a healthier and more robust spiritual life. Your life could be marked by so much more assurance and rejoicing in the Lord. But you stay so spiritually weak and skinny and unhealthy. You fall behind the other sheep as the good shepherd leads the flock. And maybe your lambs fall behind too and become prey for the wolves. It's so sad if that happens. But that's how it is with you. And repent. Go to Christ. Lord, I've let the bacteria of sin into my life, and I've eaten a lot of junk food which isn't good for me. Be merciful to me. Forgive me and help me. And then go out and find pasture. Be busy with the Bible and know the church's confessions of the Word. Graze in the rich green pastures of God's salvation again. Then you'll go in and out freely. The Lord Jesus used an expression in our text, which comes from the Old Testament, from Psalm 121. When you go out and when you come in, the Lord will fail you never, but keep you safe forever. That means you'll be spiritually safe and secure with Him, day and night, no matter what happens in your life. And you'll always have food for your soul to feed on. Via His Word and Spirit, the Lord will make you spiritually strong and healthy, even if you're physically weak and ill. Via the Gospel, He'll call you, comfort you, give you His joy always, and if needed, also chastise it and correct you your whole life through. He'll never slumber or sleep, but will take care of you always when you go in and when you go out. Amen. Pray. Thank you, Father in heaven, that Jesus made Himself known as the door by which we may go into You and Your kingdom. Help each of us to go in then too through faith in Jesus, through embracing Him in faith as our only hope in salvation and joy. And Lord, let us then also go through Him and find pasture. Let us go out and seek the lush green pasture of the gospel of Your salvation in Him and feed on it. Bless the catechism classes and the Bible study groups as they get underway. And through being busy with Your Word, let us grow healthier and stronger and more joyful all the time in our faith in You and in Your Son, Jesus Christ. All the days You give us until He comes to take us into His peace. Hear us, we pray, for His sake. Amen.